Well, it's good to see everyone back tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon and enjoyed this rain. It was nice napping weather if you got a nap. But hope you enjoyed it this afternoon. A couple things before we start. I did get flyers made, cards to pass out for the community Bible studies. Just the Genesis class. We'll get the Luke ones ready in a few weeks. They're up here on this holder. Not really sure what else to call it. Cabinet. Cabinet, probably the right word. But they're up here. If we need more, I've got more in the back I can cut up. The other thing is, with Peyton having been so sick lately, Lisa has had to stay up every few hours to give her medicine, round the clock. And so Lisa's very worn out. And to take a burden off them, we were talking, one person provided a meal for them today and took food over today. And one's already volunteered for later in the week. If you are able to help out with taking food over there, I've talked to Linda and she's agreed to check over the list and get the days covered. So if you'll see Linda after services, if you can help with that, that would be a great thing to help them out there. And she'll tell you where to take it and all that. So she's got all that. I appreciate her volunteering, being voluntold, whichever one. I told her there's the 32nd proverb. The 32nd proverb, of course, there's only 31 we'll be reading, but the 32nd one says, give jobs and you shall receive jobs. Complain about getting jobs and you shall get more jobs. So, she was a good sport though. She's thankful for her helping with that. I went ahead and decided we were going to do a lesson in Proverbs tonight, even though we're not starting that for another day or so in our reading. Mainly because I haven't decided what I'm doing next Sunday yet. Next Sunday there'll be two more lessons, and I have not decided if I'm going to do one more out of Proverbs and then one out of Ecclesiastes, or if I'm going to do one out of Ecclesiastes, and then y'all get to hear my lesson for Kingston Springs that following Thursday night so you can tell me what I did wrong in it. I haven't decided which one I'm doing yet. Leaning towards the last one. So I thought we'd go ahead and grab Proverbs tonight. So if you will have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 2, there'll be a few other texts that we will be turning to, but for the majority, we really just want to stick in chapter 2. What happens in chapter 2, as Solomon's writing, what we find is the first four verses of chapter 2 are an admonition to search for wisdom. The title of this lesson is The Benefits of Searching for Wisdom. And so the first four verses are an admonition of Solomon on why you should search for wisdom. And then from verses 5 through 22 are all different blessings that one finds for searching by searching for wisdom. And so that's how we want to break it down this evening. So we're going to read verses 1 through 4, make a few comments, and then I'm going to go ahead and read 5 all the way through 22 and make a few more comments. So let's start with verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, hold that. The blessings come, verse 5, and therefore. There are some qualities that we find of a diligent search for wisdom. Not only is Solomon admonishing whoever's reading this to search for wisdom, he tells of what the qualities are to diligently search for such wisdom. I didn't have it on this morning and no one caught me. Wanted to make sure. What he explains is, first of all, in verse 1, there is a willingness that has to be there in order to diligently search for wisdom. You see that in verse 1, my son, if you will receive my word. The individual has to take up their own part to diligently seek. To not only seek, though, but to be receptive to the words. To treasure, highly value, the idea there being highly value in remembering the commandments of wisdom. But then in verse 2, it also requires an engagement. So you have to be willing to look for it, but you have to be engaged in that study. Verses 2 and 3, make your ear attentive to understanding, to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. It requires engagement of the ear. The ear must be willing to hear the wisdom. It is an engagement of the heart. It must be willing to understand. And it is engagement of the mouth that must be willing to cry out for discernment and for understanding. It also requires a high estimation. And what we mean by that is it requires a high value, a high amount of time. You have to put effort into it. Verse 4. You have to be seeking and searching. It's not something that just pops out of the bushes and scares you. It's something you have to diligently search for. You have to be seeking and searching with the same fervor as you would be if I told you that the grass out here had silver and hidden treasures in it. A lot of you would be down here probably after services and start digging up the yard, trying to find it. You have to put even more diligence into it than that. A diligent search for wisdom requires what some would call an all-out effort. But now I also want to note how it's experienced by Christians today. And I want to tell you the writer, Solomon here, gives that in these four verses. How we can experience it today. It requires simply hearing the Word of God. Notice again, incline your ear to wisdom, verse 2. We diligently search for wisdom when we hear the Word of God. When we listen to the preachers and teachers carefully with all readiness. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Have to be searching it out, studying the Bible on our own, searching it daily to see whether the things are so, as we just used as a memory verse just a few moments ago. It requires meditating on the Word of God. That idea in verse 2 of applying your heart to wisdom or to understanding. It takes time. We must take time to reflect and ponder on the Word of God. We can look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. But I think of what the psalmist says over in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, starting in verse 97. Psalm 19, verses 97 through 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. The psalmist is singing of his meditations. He is singing of the time that he spends meditating, trying to understand the Word of God, developing his strength, developing his faith, encompassing himself with the Word of God. That's what he's singing about in these verses, in this section of the psalm. But now going back to Proverbs 2, it requires diligent prayer as well. In verse 3, cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that we must ask our prayer in faith. We have to have faith in what we're asking. And we must be persistent in what we're asking. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 in the Sermon on the Mount. When we pray in order to search for wisdom, it's not a prayer we say tonight and then we don't ever say it again. It's fervent prayer. It's diligent prayer. It's continual prayer. But it's prayer that's coupled with the action of hearing the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. It all works together. And again, it requires the same effort that others will spend trying to seek some kind of wealth. That verse 4, seek her as silver, as for hidden treasures. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. Here's a simple test, as one person put it. If you are expending the proper effort to seek wisdom, if you worked as hard for your employer as you do seeking God's wisdom, would you have your job for long? In majority of the workplaces, not all, because I've seen some, but in majority of the workplaces, if you put in no effort, they have no effort in firing you. takes little to fire you. You're right out the door. What if we were to act to God? What if we were to act to our employers like we act in our service to God? Would our resume be full of job after job after job after job because we couldn't hold anything down? Would we be on unemployment because we couldn't find anything because of our work ethic? Simple test. And if we're diligently seeking the wisdom of God. So now what are the benefits? If it takes a lot of effort, is it worth it? And that's verses 5 through 22. So I'm going to read them once through and then we'll pick them back up as we go. Starting in verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. From the man who speaks perverse things. From those who leave the paths of the uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. Whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. That leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Most of you reading along with me that last part of the chapter, you would say, that's not blessings at all. Let's talk about what you don't want. Just a common rule, anytime you see something you don't want, if you do the opposite, you will achieve the opposite. And so that's kind of where we're going to be pulling some of this from. There are benefits, though, for being diligent in our search for wisdom. There's the knowledge of God and His protection. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Verse 5. You could also look in chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The knowledge of God, whose storehouse of wisdom and understanding He gives to the upright. God is the creator of all. He knows all. If you're wanting knowledge, you should go to Him who has all the knowledge. And He gives it to those who are upright. The latter part of verse 5 down to the beginning of verse 7. But then you take the latter part of verse 7 and we see that God has providential protection guiding our life. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. The latter part of verse 7. Also chapter 30 and verse 5. Solomon will use these ideas and these things in multiple places to reinforce the understanding of what he's talking about. He guides the paths of justice which the righteous take. Verse 8, the first part. You could also write a reference to Psalm 23 there. In verse 3. He preserves the way of His saints, the latter part of verse 8. His godly ones, as the New American Standard calls it. Look over in Psalm 121. In Psalm 121, verses 5 through 8. 1 through 4 is one of our memory verses as well. But notice the last half of that psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. You remember what those first four verses were as we talked about? I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Looking to God, looking to Him for that assistance provides that protection, the latter part of the psalm. And the same idea over in Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 8. And He preserves the way of His godly ones. Not only, though, is there benefit in diligently searching for wisdom in that we have knowledge of God and of His protection, but also there is moral discernment for how we're supposed to live. There's guidance in how we're to live. There's great understanding in understanding how. That's a tongue twister. There's great understanding. There's great reasoning in understanding how we live in order to be righteous and in order to have justice. Verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness and justice. There's great understanding of equity or equality or fairness and every good path. Verse 9. This morning we looked at Psalm 142. In Psalm 143, another prayer of David, verses 8 through 10 echo this idea of understanding fairness in every good path. Notice his prayer, these verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 143. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. We have great discernment in that once wisdom enters our heart and knowledge, it's pleasant. Great discretion. Verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 2. For wisdom will enter your heart. That verse 11 talks about discretion. They will preserve and keep you. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Over in Proverbs 6, verses 22 and 23. Actually, let's go back and pick up verse 20 through 23, so that we understand what's talking about in 22 and 23. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. That proper grounding, that proper knowledge, that proper wisdom guides and guards us. What a blessing it is to go through life with God's wisdom at our disposal. There's more benefits, though, in diligently seeking for wisdom. Deliverance from evil men. Verse 12, from those who speak perverse things. Verse 13, from those who leave upright paths and walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14, from those who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perversity of the wicked. In verse 15, whose ways are crooked and devious in their paths. There's deliverance from all these types of men. Because wisdom will expose it. Wisdom will teach you how to go around it. And even if they try to do something here on this earth to you, if you rest in the wisdom of God, none of that will matter. For when this life is over. There's deliverance also from immoral women. Verse 16, the seductress who flatters with her words. Verse 17, the adulteress who forsakes her husband and the covenant she has with God. The woman whose house and path leads to destruction, the place of no return. Look in Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, what many have called this chapter is wisdom's invitation. In verses 13 through 18, it says, "The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." You notice who takes the invitation of this woman? He who does not have understanding. He who does not have wisdom. Well, the first part of this chapter talks about the invitation of wisdom. The last part talks about the invitation of those who do not seek for wisdom and how she leads them away and how only their death is found. But then you have this last part of chapter 2. And once you have the last blessing, so we have knowledge of God and His protection, we have moral discernment for living, we have deliverance from evil men, we have deliverance from immoral women, but we also have the enablement to live righteously. Verse 20. "So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous." What the writer is doing is he has used these verses to describe the different type of people. You either have those who are seeking after wisdom, who are those who are going to be protected from the evil men and from the immoral women, or you have those striving to be like the evil men and the immoral women. Those are your two differences. And so what the writer has done is he has talked about why you should seek wisdom. He has talked about you have the knowledge of God through that. You have the knowledge of how to live through that. You have His protection through that. You have moral discernment on how to be right in this world. And then you have him basically describing all these immoral people that you don't want anywhere near. And then he says in verse 20, "So you will walk in the way of good men." Think of that as a parent telling you all the dangers of driving without a seatbelt. So you will wear a seatbelt when you get behind the wheel. Think of it from that perspective. Now read that again. "So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness." You don't want to be taken by the evil men or the immoral women. So you diligently seek for wisdom, because there is the way of goodness, and that's where righteousness is found. We could circle back again to Psalm 23 there. In verse 21, "For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it." To be upright and blameless, to dwell and remain in the land, we want that. We want to remain in the presence of God. We want to live with Him. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read one verse from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 in verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." This is a psalm of David about security of those who trust in the Lord and the insecurity of the wicked. Those who dwell in the land are secure and safe from harm. That means spiritual harm. We are enabled to live righteously because, unlike the wicked and the unfaithful, they will be cut off and uprooted from the earth, so we will be able to stand. Verse 22, "The wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted by it." Again, I'm going to read from Psalm 37. This time I'm going to read verses 37 and 38. "Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will altogether be destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off." Now I want you to notice the similar language in verses 21 and 22 to this Psalm of David. Purely speculation. But do you remember who I said the writer of Proverbs is? It's Solomon, his son. And you notice some similarities in the language. These are the type of things parents should pass on to their children. How to live, how to diligently search for wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man to live. And he understood that wisdom can, if we would diligently seek for it, it can empower us to live more blessed each and every day. Are not the benefits of wisdom worth the effort necessary to obtain it? Again, you have these first four verses with the admonishment to search for wisdom, and then he explains why in the verses following. To know God and to enjoy His providential care. To obtain discernment for making the right moral choices. To be delivered from the shenanigans of evil men. To be delivered from the seductions of immoral women. To be able to walk in goodness and righteousness, living lives blessed by God. What effort is required to obtain God's wisdom? Remember those first four verses. Incline your ear to wisdom. We must hear the Word of God. Apply your heart to understanding. We must meditate on the Word of God. Involved in that is belief. And the faith that comes from meditating on His Word and accepting it as truth. Cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. To ask in faith for wisdom. Well, there we have confessing and asking God for forgiveness and repenting that we may live there no longer. To highly value its worth. Seek her as silver, as for hidden treasures. We don't do the things we used to do. We turn away from it. And because it's more valuable than anything else we can find on this earth, we do everything we can to obtain it. And that includes being baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we hold fast to it. And those reasoning is clear. That reasoning is clear when you look at the last few verses, those 5 through 22. Because of the great blessings that are obtained in that wisdom. With such effort, one will not only find wisdom for daily practical living, but one will find Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 in verse 3. He indeed is the greatest benefit that we have by diligently seeking wisdom. As we begin to read through the Proverbs, keep that in mind. What chapter 1 does in Proverbs is it sets up the theme, it sets up the use of the Proverbs, and then you have great lessons all throughout. The greatest lesson we learn, though, is to be obedient to God. And that idea is given time and time again in the Proverbs. In how parents are told to instruct their children, in how the children are supposed to act, in how you seek for the good woman, in all of it, you see obedience as a part of it all. Are we diligently seeking for wisdom? And if so, are we living in it? Are we living right? Only we can answer that question for ourselves. If you're here this evening and you need to make yourself right with God, we invite you to do so now as we stand and as we sing this song that's been selected.